Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. Hey, thank you so much for sharing with your friends and family. I just got notified today we have over 1.5 million listeners just here in the United States. That doesn't count overseas. We're really, really grateful for you. But folks, we've got something special for you today. Well, you know what? You're experiencing right now the government shutdown. You're seeing what happens with the airlines. How long will that go on? Hey, nobody knows. On top of that, we just found out 153,000 jobs have been eliminated due to AI. Likely more to come. The Federal Reserve lowered interest rates. We have 41% of the growth in the markets have been generated by 5 stocks. Gold hitting record after record. Wall Street titans like the CEO of Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. We even got Berkshire Hathaway's have indicated expect significant pullbacks in the next 12 to 14 months. Hey, what does this all mean to you if you're retired or about to retire? You know what? You're in luck. We have Al Casado from CKS Summit Group. Al's been a financial advisor out of Michigan for almost 30 years. He's been featured on Barney & Company, Fox Business, CNBC, and many, many others. He's really sought after. What you really want to know about Al is he teaches, mentors, other financial advisors how to properly serve their clients. He breaks down what's happening in the market so the advisors can understand so they can help their clients. Now, we're really lucky to have Al here. He's here with us today. He's going to be here to help make sense of all this. So, Al, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Steve. Always a pleasure to speak with you, my friend, and an honor to be here as well.
I appreciate that. Let's kind of get right into it. Okay, you know what? We saw the Federal Reserve. They reduced interest rates. Okay? But what's really interesting is my understanding is the Federal Reserve, and correct me if I'm wrong, they handled the 2-year Treasury. And everything went down and we had a whole bunch of people say, hey, interest rates are going down. Your mortgage is going to go down. But that didn't happen because we found out this morning that mortgage rates are going up. So what's going on with all this so people who are listening can understand what happens and what it means to their credit and what's really making interest rates go up and affecting their credit, their mortgage, and so on?
See, that's an awesome question because there's just so much misunderstanding when it comes to interest rates, right? Reason why is because everybody thinks back here a few years when we went down to zero, almost zero, right? When interest rate environment all the way down. And geez, almost everyone in this country that could at that time, what did they do? They refied, they bought, it was incredible and all, you know, all this stuff. So of course people think that, well, if interest rates are coming down, because the one that we hear all the time that people talk about, right, is that 2-year treasury. All right. And so people constantly remember that when that 2-year treasury back when the boom was happening, was coming down, what they weren't really paying attention to was that the 10-year was also coming down, because we're going to talk about a little bit about what that 10 means. But the reason why today people equate that is because of that, because they're going back and saying, well, geez, but then now there's a disconnect, right? There's a disconnect saying, man, these are going down, but why in the world are interest rates for homes and things like that not following suit? And that's because of this. The Fed can only control the 2-year treasury, okay? And the 2-year treasury is all about short-term lending, okay? This is what your credit cards are put on. This is what your CD, your money market account, those type of things that you see on an everyday basis that are short-term in nature. So those things are affected by the 2-year treasury. So yes, you're going to go to the bank right now and your CD rate Just a few months ago, Steve, you know, people were getting CD rates near what, 4, 4.5 and things like that. And all of a sudden now they're under 4, they're getting down to 3. And now the real short term ones are under 1 again. Well, that's because that short term treasury is going down. All right. But what people don't understand is the Fed, the president, Congress, you name it, they cannot control the 10-year treasury. And my friend, that is what everything in the as for long-term borrowing is based on. Home loans, long-term loans, all of that is based on the 10-year treasury. There's only two things that move the 10-year treasury, and that's market conditions and economic conditions. That's it. There's not a human being that can pull a lever like the Fed is doing right now. And we've seen it twice now, Steve, where Powell has lowered that short term. And what happened to that 10-year treasury? It went up. Okay. And we saw it this time, right before this last drop, it was what, at 3.7? Mm-hmm. And immediately following that, it got up to 3.9. Then you and I even spoke a little bit after that. And we saw it to reach up to 4.1. And now it's hovering right around 4.
Yeah, it's okay. Close to 4.9. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
4.09,
now,
sorry.
Yeah. So now look at what's happening. So that what does that mean to the average person here? See, that affects the economy in a way where housing drives the economy, building drives the economy. And when levels are where they're at and you start seeing housing start, you know, that starts to form that crack, you know, little cracks. And that starts to form that crack. And what as a person who is nearing retirement or in the distribution phase of their life, these are warning signs. You know, they're saying, hey, because a 10-year treasury, believe it or not, to me, it's kind of like that fortune teller type thing. It kind of says, hey, let's look into the future a little bit here. Things are not quite what they seem. You know, we still don't believe that, you know, that inflation is under control. You know, there's still issues with the economy. It doesn't make sense. So, you know, you want a really good sense of what's going on. You don't look at the 2. You look at the 10.
So what you're saying is a lot like a GPS when there's an accident. It's saying, hey, we've got some disruption on the roadway. You better slow down or you might have or need to find another direction. Otherwise, this might not work out for you.
Absolutely. Because the one thing that I think that the only thing right now that we can see in the near future that can possibly affect that 10-year treasury is really unemployment. But even with that, we don't even know because today we were supposed to get numbers and because of the shutdown. We have no numbers. Isn't it crazy that now we're in such a critical point of our economy, but it's almost like we're doing blackout driving. It's almost like you're driving on the highway and they put a black thing in front of your windshield and says, go.
So what you're saying is the economy is driving blind because they don't know what the consumer price index is going to be. They don't know what unemployment's going to be. They don't know what inflation's going to be moving forward. But you know what? The last thing we heard from the 10-year treasury is that we're going to have inflation up, which means people's prices for everyday goods are still going to stay hot. Well,
absolutely.
This means people are going to still struggle with that, and it's going to create more and more of a dent into their budget. It may even be taking more money than they typically would from their finances, more than what they planned.
Absolutely. It's got that domino effect to it. The 10-year treasury, again, is such a powerful instrument. And the focus right now, always being on the 2, just doesn't make sense. I don't care who's in power. I don't care who the Fed is. Again, it has a mind of its own, and it'll only move on certain conditions. But right now, it's saying, hey, 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 slow down. Things might not be what they seem. There's overvaluation. There's tax, you know, we're in serious debt in this country. All of those, remember, those are all factors that 10-year treasury is taking on.
Mm-hmm. So I have this question. One of my viewers asked this. They said, you know, the last time the 10-year treasury got close to 5, was in 2022 and they saw the market retreat. So is there pressure that the 10-year treasury puts on portfolios or something like that?
It puts a huge amount of pressure because what's happening is they're saying that the long-term risk, you're getting more return on the long-term risk than you are on risk itself, okay? So what it means is that as this thing starts going up, typically when that I mean, this is not set, but what we start seeing is a lot of pressure starts happening into the markets once that thing starts to reach 4.5. Mm-hmm. That really puts a lot of pressure on the market because it's telling the markets there's a lot of things that are not correct. Okay. Something in the economy or something in the market, something is really weighing on that. So what that does is once it gets up to that, it starts inching up to that 4 or 5. And then when it definitely, when it gets up to the 5, you better hopefully have made a lot of adjustments prior to, because things will happen kind of quickly.
Mm, I see. Okay, great. Hey, folks, you definitely want to stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Al Casado. It's like a GPS for what you're looking to do with your retirement. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I truly want to thank you for tuning in and appreciate you letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. All the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Hey, you can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton, Insider Club, guest gifts, and more. And with that, I really want to get back to Al Casado because the pearls of wisdom that are coming here are something else. So let's talk about the next thing, okay? There's been multiple reports that shows, and it's, you know, the numbers are showing this as well. So there's 5 stocks. They were part of that Magnificent 7, but they represent 41% of the growth in the S&P 500. Now, on top of that, they represent 47% of the capitalization of the S&P 500, which is gigantic. That means almost, 495 stocks only represent about 53% of the capitalization. That means there's such a concentration in essentially these AI stocks. Now, that, you know, you've heard overvaluation. I'd like to hear your thoughts on what's going on there. And then let's talk about how should people be looking at this? What should people be doing? Even here recently in the markets, we see some pullback, and a lot of it has to do with AI. So, Al, I'd love to hear your thoughts on, hey, markets overconcentrated. How do you feel about that? What should people be looking at?
Well, you know what, Steve? I love history. I'm a student of history, and I'm also a student of financial history. And I don't know about your viewers, but maybe you. Do you kind of sort of believe that history has a way of repeating itself?
Oh, yeah.
I do. The thing is that we choose to believe that every generation chooses to believe it's going to be different, right? And so the same thing happens in the financial market. So, you know, if you don't mind, let me just take a quick jump into history here. And let's talk about 1964, okay? We saw similar things happen in 1964 where a handful of stocks dominated the S&P, okay? And we know that what happened 2 years later, right? 2 years later, we went into what? Into a 16-year secular bear market, okay? I mean, all the way through the 70s and through all the disasters of the 70s and the, you know, 18% inflation. And I mean, you just had all kinds of crazy things happening through that time frame. And then history again hit us. And it hit us when? In 1998, right? Tonight to 2000. What did we have? A handful of companies, right, that were over-concentrated, that controlled the markets. And what happened there? All of a sudden, what happened? From 2000 to 2003, we took that first big hit, right? We felt it, over-concentration. Now we're seeing it again. So if history has a way of saying, okay, this has happened, 2 on, now this is your 3rd time around, why do we expect that to be any different? See, we have these this small amount of stock. And let me tell you, though, hopefully you have been excited about it. I've been excited because it, in some way, it has had a positive result on a lot of our portfolios, right? But at the same time, is that if you're thinking about, if you have this much concentration, see, these little five little stocks, not five little, they're gigantic, I'm sorry, but these five stocks, not these five little ones, these are gigantic stocks, right? These gigantic stocks have all the control over the other 495 that are in the S&P. Because if you took them out, the S&P would actually be kind of sucking wind this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just be honest about that. I mean, the broad market would be way down than what it is right now. So five. So when things happen to them, we're seeing a little bit of that this week. We're seeing a little bit of that. But anything that happens to these guys has what we call a systemic risk through the entirety of the market. That's how much power they have. So you're retired or you're about to be retired and you're putting all of those years of work into a situation that is controlled by five to seven stocks, where the smallest of things create huge shakeup. And see, when we're retired, it doesn't take a lot of shakeup to create incredible volatility. And Steve, you and I know the volatility absolutely is the enemy of the one thing that people in retirement need, which is what? Income. Okay? It affects our income. Volatility is awesome when you're 20s and your 30s and your 40s and all that kind of stuff, because you know what? In chaos, there's all this other stuff and you're not touching the money and you let it grow and all that kind of stuff. But the world changes when you get here. So the effect of these stocks, when there's over concentration, it means you're putting a lot of hope and a lot of faith that nothing goes wrong. And if you look at what's happening today, some good sizable cracks are starting to happen. I mean, you're looking at the fact that you have now some of those bigger AI companies are lending money and not lending, but they're putting money into other, investing in other companies that are their direct customers. I mean, think about that.
And you're talking about OpenAI.
Yeah. You got companies like that, that are, you know, NVIDIA doing the same thing. I mean, all those companies, what are they doing? They're investing. You know, the next big crack, huge crack, is who's going to pay for all these data centers? Okay. Where are they? We just saw them for the first time going to the open credit market. Okay. We just had a CEO come out and say, hey, how about if the federal government funds this? And of course, that was slapped up and down, and the market said, are you crazy? And she quickly retracted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Okay. So, I mean, you talk about at this stage of the game, if I'm in a position where I no longer have that income from the JOB, mm-hmm. and my thinking is a little bit different. My way of looking at this and saying, wait a minute, the impact on me can be substantial versus somebody who's 30 years old.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking about that. When you're about to retire, you're in an age you've never been, at a time you've never been in. And the experience that you used to be able to have that JOB where, hey, if it went down, hey, okay, 2008 hit. Hey, it went down a whole bunch. Okay, I'm okay with that because I still got a job to cover my expenses and do all that. So I had this time for it to come back. But when you're about to retire, you're a couple years prior, 5 years prior, or when you are retired, you know what? You're in a place where, hey, I'm going to stop working in a couple of years. But if this happens, I might not be able to stop working in a couple of years. It might be 5 or 6 or 7 more years on top of that. Or I'm in a position where I can't go back to work, don't have the ability to go to work or the health to go to work or the energy to go back to work. And yet I'm seeing significant reduction in my portfolio, especially if this stuff happens with AI that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So that this is why, you know, vigilance and really understanding. See, this is, you know, you don't hear the pun. Everybody gets all caught up in the euphoria. You know, we call it, you know, unrealistic exuberance. Okay. There's all that froth that's going on there and you get excited about it and everything else like that. But you need to have a clear plan as to what is all this about? What is your goal with taking, you know, putting all those years, because it's really about the years you put in. It's really not about the money. The money is only a conduit. The money was what you earned for all those years you put in. And then the reward is your lifestyle. So are you going to put all those years at risk in a time where risk and reward for a retiree. I'm not talking about your 30-year-old audience or 40-year-old audience. We're talking about your pre-retiree, retiree audience, where risk and reward at this moment, I don't know, is probably not in your favor. Okay. Because when you're looking at that and you're if you understand the dynamics of systemic risk caused by such a small number, and if you can take your mind back in history and go back to 1998 to 2000 and go back to 1964, the outcome is never, so far, hasn't been positive.
Now, Al, one of the things that many of our viewers and listeners, they're chiming in, they're saying, hey, you know what, we heard Ray Dalio. You know, he's talking about some issues that are happening in the market. We might have a little more run before the downturn. We hear Jamie Dimon. We hear the CEO of JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs. We hear people from Warren Buffett. They're all talking about that there's likely to be a downturn in the market in the coming 12 to 24 months. Okay. So, you know what, when people who are significant like that saying that, what does it really mean to the people who are in that pre-retirement and retirement phase?
Ooh, nice one. I love this. Steve, there's this red balloon. All right.
You mean like the one we had when we were a little kid in the book?
When we were a little kid. Remember, if you remember that movie, the little red balloon. Well, guess what? That little red balloon's back. And now the only thing is that now this red balloon is kind of floating. I want you to kind of picture this. It's floating and floating and floating all through Wall Street. And you know what it's looking for? It's looking for a pin. And when a balloon and a pin meet, right? It's kind of where we're at. See, when you hear things, you know, from some of these individuals that you just said, and you know, and you're talking about Warren Buffett. I mean, you think about what Warren Buffett right now, he has increased his position, his cash position, which typically hovers around what, 17%, I think is what it is. And now it's over 34% of his portfolio that he is now sitting on cash. So it could either mean one or two things. He's either ready to make a big boom, or if you really know Warren or know about him or have studied him, is he being cautious? Okay. Because if there's ever been an investor that is truly a value or undervalue investor, I would probably say it's Warren Buffett himself. As a matter of fact, you and I know there's an indicator that's called the Warren Buffett indicator, which is market capitalization versus GDP, right? Mm-hmm. And that particular index, guys, you talk about a GPS. This is a financial GPS for your audience right here. That particular index says that anything over 135%, anything over 135 is saying to us that this thing is overvalued, this market is overvalued. Folks, we are well over 200%. I want you to just take that number in. 200%. These actually, are the number.
It's 222 right now. It's like
222.
The highest it's ever been.
Let me tell you, this thing is so stretched right now, and it's going to continue to be stretched. I mean, I want you to think about this. Is like, you know, you remember as a kid too, you know, when you were trying to blow the biggest bubble you can do, you know, from a bubble gum, and you would stuff your mouth and then do the biggest one. But what would happen? What happens, right? Everybody, as it gets bigger, it's euphoric and more exciting, but then it gets more tense and more tense and more tense because we know what's going to happen. Okay. And see, an index like this is telling us, man, things are just out of whack. So can you blow more? Yes, of course you can. You can try to push it as far as possible, but there will be a time where as far as possible is over. You know, we can talk about another great, Robert Shiller. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at his worst time, that PE ratio, price to earnings. This is how, you know, how people buy things. You know, the Shiller PE ratio tells us whether something is at value, below value, or more importantly, overvalue, right? Mm-hmm. Steve, I think at his worst time, it was at 44.
Yeah.
Okay. That's back in 1999. The mean where it usually hangs around, it's around what, 16?
Yep.
And right now it's kissing what? What do we have? Like, oh,
40.
40. Four shy of an all-time high. four shy of an all-time high, which, by the way, this is exactly where we were just a few years ago in December of 21 to November of 21.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened in 2022?
The market went down.
There you go.
A lot.
Again, history is teaching you, is telling you, what makes today different than any of those times? What you got to ask yourself, what is making today different than any of those other times? What I mean, who's coming in with a big white horse and saying, we're going to save you? Because, you know, and again, this is not being, you know, the sky's falling, being bright. No, this is being understanding that, you know what? Things cycle through. And when we were young and when we didn't need the money, those cycles worked in our favor. Okay, because it allowed the markets to do what they're doing. We weren't touching the money. But man, the minute that you start touching the money, everything that happens here has a direct effect on your portfolio. And we have to listen to those, especially when you're in this critical time of your life. Like you said, Steve, at an age you've never been, at a time you've never been. But the good thing is that you have history to help guide you. To help guide make and help guide you into making wise and prudent decisions. So this is why, I've heard you say many times, Steve, your portfolio needs to answer what questions? Those three questions. Give them to me really quick.
are they engineered for the good? Are they engineered for the bad? And are they engineered for the uncertain?
Folks, if your portfolio is not answering those questions, if you don't have a direct answer to those questions, you are really, really putting yourself in peril.
Could you clear up when somebody looks at, hey, how is your portfolio engineered for the good? Could you clear up what that means and how a portfolio would be engineered for the bad or the uncertain? What would that
mean? Absolutely. Yeah. Because I mean, there's still going to be possibilities of growth. So how is your portfolio engineered to say, hey, for that particular money, you know, we have purpose money, we have performance money. For my performance money, the money that's not obligated to me, the money that I don't rely on for anything, the money that whether it's there today or not there tomorrow, I doesn't really affect me other than I get bummed out. Is that money positioned to take advantage of some of this craziness?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it engineered to maximize on those opportunities?
So in other words, it's about maximizing the exuberance that's happening right now.
Correct. For money that's not what? Obligated. Okay. Is it engineered to absorb the losses? Because now that's more important. Okay. What's more important here in retirement is not the gains. It's the money you have, the money you keep, the money that's in your pocket, the money that's feeding your lifestyle. Okay. So how are we going to mitigate that? What's the plan behind that? You know, so is it engineered? How is it engineered to take losses? Is it just say, hey, Steve, I'm sorry you lost money, buddy. Hang in there. You know what? Stick your head in the sand. It's going to be okay. In the long haul, you're going to be fine. And you're thinking, my God, I'm 70 years old. How long is my haul?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And then the other problem is how long do I wait to do stuff in order to get my balance back so I don't eat it all up?
Absolutely. Because every time somebody tells you to hang in there, you know what they're telling you, Steve? Stop living. Stop your lifestyle. You wanted to take that trip? You don't have to do it right now. You wanted to do a huge gift for your grandchildren or children? You know what? Let them go work. Let them do their thing. You'll get to it. Don't worry. Things will come back. That's what they're telling you. They're saying delay everything you want.
They just gave you the someday speech.
Yes. Amen.
We'll do that someday. You do that someday. You wait and then you do that someday. Well, maybe you don't have time.
You don't have time, right? And then, of course, the uncertain, which is what we're in right now, which is how does this portfolio behave so it can maintain constant? Because see, it's not about people think about like, well, I got to get. No, you don't get out of the market. It's not about just getting out of the market. Is are you looking at the entire universe of conservative investment that can keep that portfolio growing consistently, but with safety in mind? And this is where your obligated money is. This is where your money that you are using to fuel your lifestyle. This is the money that has to be there. This is the money that you don't want to cannibalize, and you don't want market conditions to cannibalize it either. This is about staying in control in an out of control situation.
Al, that's wonderful. Hey, folks. We got to take a break. I was waiting as long as I could. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more Al Quesada. You can see why all these advisors flock to him, because he really understands what's going on, what's going to happen to people, and how the markets work. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I do want to thank you for tuning in. I do appreciate you sharing this with your friends and family. Again, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks, again, are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems and uplift your spirit, obviously living a life of financial and personal freedom. Now, we're going back to Al Quesada here. It's just pearl of wisdom after pearl of wisdom. So, Al, again, thanks for being here today. We've got about 6 weeks before the end of the year. Okay. And then we're moving into 2026. What are the things people should be doing? What steps should people be taking right now with what's going on in the market? You got the tax stuff going on, all that. What would be the things that people should be thinking about right now, talking to their advisor about, to make sure they're set up for the remainder of the year as well as moving themselves into next year?
You know, you know, there's this old saying that if you want to end strong, you start stronger. Right?
Oh, yeah. Got to be in shape.
You know, that's how you do it. But, you know, if I'm in that position where, again, I am within retirement or in retirement, the number one thing that I would be doing over the next few weeks is getting a defined, intelligent exit plan put in place.
Okay, so let's talk. What is an exit plan? And what does that mean? Because every time everybody hears exit plan, they hear, oh, I got a time to market.
Yeah. It's not about timing the market. Let's go back here. I love going back, right? Let's go back to our childhood days when some of us didn't have gray hair and some of us had hair. stuff, right? So let's go back and let's just go high school, whatever you want to go to, middle school. And we had this thing called what? A fire drill. Okay. And why did we have a fire drill? All right. Because in case of a fire, you wanted an orderly and safe exit out of a burning building.
Well, okay, hopefully it wasn't your portion of the building wasn't burning.
Yeah. So you wanted a safe where people would know that if things happen, you knew exactly how to react. Okay. An exit plan out of the market is exactly what you said, Steve. It's not timing the market. It's not about getting out of it's about having a clear plan as to how you are going to capture the gains and mitigate the losses, okay? So that you have a clear understanding as you have absolute defined written goals as to what exactly will happen as these chaos, as these economic environments keeps changing, okay? So it takes the emotion and the guessing when things get, because Think about what happened in 2022, what happened in 2008, what happened in 2000. When chaos happens, right, we lose clarity. The one thing we want to have is that we want to make sure of is that clear minds make clear decisions. So when things get hectic, I want to know exactly how I'm going to do something so that I don't do something erratic. So I don't all of a sudden just sell out. Well, then I don't all of a sudden get all crazy and say, oh, my God, you know, and run for the hills and all. I have an orderly plan to continue having a portfolio that continues to fuel my lifestyle without interruption.
So how does that look?
As far as how it looks, it depends on who you are as an individual and how the plan is actually written out. You know, everybody's exit plan is going to be different. It could be based on goals. It could be based on numbers. It could be saying at a 15%, at a 10% reduction in wherever I'm at today, I am going to do this. Or when I reach this goal, because I'm saving for something, I reach this goal. This is an exit plan. So an exit plan has a lot of different doors to go out of. It's not just one door. So there's not a blanket plan that says this is exactly, this is the only door that you can go out to. It has multiple doors depending on what it is that you're trying to accomplish through your plan.
Okay. So for example, you have your primary plan where you say, hey, I have this allocation and I'm going to continue that until something happens. It could be volatility. It could be a family issue. Could be emergency. I need a bunch of money for. So you continue with that.
Correct.
And then maybe the next step could be, you know what? Hey, if that volatility continues, I reduce the lower volatility assets. I look for more things that create the income to create the stability in there.
Correct.
And obviously, most important with the plan is to make sure that you have a year or two assets set aside that are just designed to cover daily living, emergencies, medical, things like that.
Correct.
And then you were talking about, hey, if things went down 10, 15%, that sounds like a trigger. So should you have listed triggers for, hey, if this happens, I'm going to do this. If this happens, I'm going to do this, just like a fire drill.
It is, because that keeps you disciplined. It's discipline and emotion. It's control. One of the things that where we make the biggest mistakes is when emotion sets in, we lose discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have set targets. It lets us know, okay, we're at that target. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to be emotional about it. It's written. It's done. I initiate my plan.
And those plans are a lot of times initiated prior to the bigger drops of volatility in the market.
Because there's absolutely
a number of people in 08 that, you know what, we're going, oh, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. And the next thing you know, they're down 40%. And they're going, okay, I went from a million to 600,000. And now I still have to take my, you know, $40,000 a year. And I went from taking a 5% withdrawal to an 8 or 10% withdrawal. And that doesn't really work for the portfolio because it just eats it down.
Right, right. Which of course, we understand if you get caught in the wrong sequence, that could be, you know, you look from 08, you know, from 2000 to 2010, what, you know, a lot of people call the lost decade. You know, it's interesting to know that during that time frame, you know, the S&P, believe it or not, actually the average, what, 5%, but it was a zero return. And mm-hmm. if you were in that situation and you got caught in that, boy, geez, your portfolio could have gone from a million to almost a half a million based on four bad years. But again, that happens because you don't have a plan. There is no set plan, whether it's asset movement, whether it's exits out or anything like that. It's, you're caught up in the emotion. You get tied into the emotion and it doesn't allow you to be disciplined.
Also, I think, you know, I was just thinking about this where people get tied into old thinking. They're always taught, don't worry, it'll come back. Hey, you're 20, 30, 40, 50. Well, you're not 20, 30, 40, 50 anymore because you don't have a job to keep going until in time for it to come back. You need it there, but they're still thinking, don't worry, it'll come back. The problem is, yeah, it'll come back, but at what time and how's your lifestyle going to be?
It's all about time. Time is your friend and time is also your enemy. Mm-hmm. And you know, we don't know when the good Lord is going to call us, but you know what? We have to face mortality in our retirement years. We know that's going to happen it could happen at any time really. But the fact is that time is going to be your friend or time is going to be your enemy and recovery. And it's years in recovery. I mean, we've talked about this before, Steve, you know, the people in 2022, I mean, it took them two and a half years to get back. And that's with this incredible returns. And that's it. They didn't touch the money. If they've been touching the money, there's still people that are trying to get back to where they were prior to 2022.
And moving into our next little topic, Roth conversions, you know what I heard about? Well, one person says, hey, it was late 2021 when he did the Roth conversion. And you know what? He took a whole bunch of money out, paid 30% in taxes, and then still had it in the market. And there he is. Market went down 22%. So he's almost down 50, you know, he's down 47%. And he's nowhere near. And that could be detrimental, especially in retirement.
You know why, Steve? Because they try to build a house on quicksand. Listen, whether it's tax planning, whether it's Roth conversion planning or anything else, before you go to there, the one thing that needs to be set is the foundation. Okay. Nobody likes to talk about the foundation because it's not fun. It's not sexy. It's not cool. Just like when you're building a home, who wants to talk about the cement that just like, wow, that cement is beautiful. It's cold and gray and dog. I can't, you know, what do we want to talk about? We want to talk about the walls and this and the paint and everything else like that. But that house can't stand without a foundation. So that example that you just shared with your audience right now, with this individual, he converted and the market's dumped on him. So he not only lost the money that he lost, you know, that he lost on taxation, but then the market took care of the rest. So the first thing that you must do before you start talking about Roth conversions, estate planning, income planning, or anything else is that you must have the correct asset allocation, and you must make sure that it's been stress test against the good, the bad, and the uncertain.
I'm just thinking, here it goes. Oh my gosh, so many people just need to be doing that right now. Because you know what, it could eliminate a lot of stress. And if you do stress tests just like you talked about, you could be walking in the next few years far more confident than the guy next to you because they didn't. And you know what, in retirement, it's really about you didn't go into retirement to be stressed. You wanted to be stress-free because you thought it was covered. And you know what? You didn't build all that money to lose it. You built it to spend it. You built it to give it to somebody else when you walk out on life. So it makes sense to stress test it, to have that exit plan, and to understand how your portfolio is going to work with, you know, the good times, the bad times, and the uncertain times.
Yeah, you know, you got to treat your portfolio like you do a $20 bill. Okay, think about this: the last time you lost a 20 somewhere, you went nuts looking for it. You know. You're looking everywhere. I had a 20. It was sitting right here. I can't find it, blah, blah, blah. And you're looking all over for it, right? But you lose 200 in the markets and you're like, it's just paper. You know, it's just paper. No, it's a $20 bill that you care about, you know, because why? It fuels the lifestyle. And that's what it's all about, is understanding. So, yes, getting ready and preparing yourself for tax mitigation. Absolutely. I mean, we're in the lowest tax environment, you know, at least for the next 3 years, right? We're going to be in this type of tax environment. But what does the future hold when we have a debt where it's at? Okay. The future says it won't be too much longer until something has to give.
Yeah.
Okay. Something has to give, whether it's going to be more taxes or less money for you in Social Security. One of the two. Something's got to happen, okay? Because this can't keep going. So we need to make sure that we take advantage of putting ourselves in a position where the government is no longer your partner. But again, to do so and to be prudent about it is to first make sure that you have a solid foundation, that once you convert, it's a positive for you, and that there's going to be no negatives for you. Okay. Understanding that every move you make must be a positive. In retirement, we cannot afford negative movement, whether it's in the market, whether it's in taxes, or in anything else that we do. It must be always moving forward.
Al, I want to thank you so much for being here. Hey, folks, Al's allowed me to give this out. If you're, you know, I know we have a lot of financial advisors that listen to this show. If you're a financial advisor looking for somebody of Al's caliber for help to grow your business, to understand how the markets are going, you know what? You want to go to summitgp.com. Again, that's summitgp.com. We'll put it on the website for you. You can just click it. You can go right there. You can find out about Al and see how he can be a mentor for you, that like he's been for thousands of other financial advisors throughout the country. And we're just thank you for being here. This has been fun. It's been a pearl of wisdom. I mean, you kind of gave away all the GPSs for people to know what's going on in the world.
There you go. Hey, you know what? I love conversations like this. You know, this is like, to me, is it's so needed. It's about making sense. Bringing sense to such a crazy type of a world, because our job, Steve. Your job, my job, is to take the chaos, interpret the chaos, show our clients how it applies to them, and then show them the opportunity. And I think that us being able to do that is speaking a whole different language than so many other advisors out there today that just try to, it's what the pundits say or anything like that is. to you, to me, to my clients, it's what's under the hood that matters.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mr. Casado's already got enough clients. He doesn't need any more. He loves helping out advisors, though. With that, I want to thank you all for joining us today right here on Saving with Steve. Look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.